Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's W3C CCG meeting. Today, we're excited to have Miracle, Lucy, Clea, and Torsten to actually talk about credentials format comparison. But before then, just want to quickly go through the administrative stuff. So first of all, just a quick reminder on the code of ethics and professional conduct. Just want to make sure that we hold constructive conversations and respectful conversations here. Next, a quick intellectual property note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to the CCG work items must be a member of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. So if you have any questions in regards to getting your W3C account or the agreement, just let any of the co-chairs know. Next, these meetings are automatically recorded and transcribed. And we will publish these meeting minutes and audio recordings and video recordings in the next 1 or 2 days. We use GC Chat to queue the speakers during the calls, as well as to take minutes. And you can type in Q+ to add yourself to the queue or Q- to remove. So just want to take a quick moment for the introductions and reintroductions. If you're new to the community or you haven't been active and want to re-engage, please just feel free to unmute and introduce yourself. All right. I think it's mostly familiar faces. Next, any announcements or reminders? Clea, yeah, please.
Hi, folks. Good news is we got registration for our IIW Inspired event in Africa live. So if you want to join us in September in South Africa, we're hosting DID Unconference Africa. September 25 to 27. I'll put a link and registration is open. And so are sponsorships. So if you are doing business in the region and want to raise your profile, it's a great way to do it. And the Digital Identity Unconference Europe is coming up in about a month, June 18 to 20th in Zurich. And I'll also post a link for that in the chat.
Thank you. Thanks. Erica?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Just a note that Rebooting the Web of Trust will be convening in October the 7th through the 11th in Southern California in Ventura, just north of Los Angeles. So mark your calendars and more information's on Eventbrite. I will put the link in the chat. Thanks. That's it.
Thank you. Any other announcements or reminders?
Yes, I just have not an announcement, but a request for comments, just to quote ETF, because we just started to draft a threat model for digital credentials. So if you like to participate, put your comments and this kind of things, I'm happy to work with. This is just to help digital credentials in general and digital identities. It's a focus on decentralized entities. So it's, this is also should be interesting topic about today. And just pasting in the link here in the chat. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Simone. Any other announcements or reminders? All right, any updates on the work items? All right, last calls for introductions, announcements, reminders, and work items. All right, let's get to the main agenda. So today, the main agenda is on credentials format comparison, and we're very glad to have Mirko, Lucy, and Clea to kind of join us to present their work. So Mirko, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Yeah, so Kalir, if you want to start, I don't mind. Just give me a quick sign.
Yeah, that would be great. I think that that makes sense in terms of the flow to go from simpler to more complex.
Okay, the stage is yours.
Okay, I'm would like okay. Google Chrome would like to record this computer screen's audio. I guess so. Sorry, it's asking me to do things. I didn't really know it would. Oh, okay. I'm quitting and reopening Chrome, I think, to share my screen with you. Just a sec. I'll be right back.
Maybe Mirko, if you could just kind of introduce yourself a little bit. I know you're doing great work at other foundations. So.
Sure. My name is Mirko. Right now I'm at Fraunhofer Institution, where I'm doing my PhD on the status revocation approaches. And I'm also actively involved in the Open Wallet Foundation. But I would continue my introduction after Kalir has finished. I think then it makes more sense with the transition. Kalir, are you ready? We can see your screen now.
I'm ready. Great. Thank you so much. I'm going to share about this paper and the previous paper that Lucy and I wrote, called Standards-Based Digital Credential Flavors Explained. We were sponsored to do this work by DHI, the Crown Corporation for the country of Bhutan, that's led the development of their, digital credential, system. And we work with companies to do sponsored work like this, where information would be good for the whole market and folks pay us to do the research and share it. You can see this was the purpose of the project, to provide a simplified but technically accurate overview of the main flavors of standards-based digital credentials for humans in the market today, to inform policy, business, and technical decision makers sitting on the fence regarding what to use for their implementations. That was the purpose of why we did this. And we did not choose to focus on every possible flavor under the sun. We focused on what was in market and being used. So the first version of the paper was written when Lucy and I worked for the COVID Credentials Initiative under Linux Foundation Public Health. It was published in 2001 and covered four major flavors and took them through a journey of the life cycle and sort of articulated how each flavor was different in each stage of the life cycle. We evolved this paper for the next version in 2003, and we split it up into some new sections. The top section covered data formats, so JSON, JSON-LD, and CBOR. And the next section covered different cryptographic securing methods, JWT, CWT, and data integrity proof. And then we also went through some key capabilities like selective disclosure and explained how those worked, along with subject holder binding and hardware binding. Then we went through the same steps that we had in the first paper, sort of the life cycle of a credential from issuance to verification, covering four different flavors. And then at the very end, we touch on two of the flavors that we dropped from this paper, the Anon Crads Flow and what was called Jason LDZKP with BBS Plus now is called BBS with Data Integrity Signatures. And the two new kids on the block we touched on, chained, authentic chain data containers, ACDT, and Gordian envelopes. And then we discussed how most of the ZKPs is that are in the real world are pseudo ZKPs where statements are signed, but the actual cryptographic sort of math properties aren't happening. So that's the difference in the two table of contents. I thought I'd walk through sort of some of the content of the paper. One is this difference between JSON and JSON-LD. On the left-hand side is JSON. It's just name value pairs. And on the right is JSON-LD that has an at context file that points to schema.org. And you can see below is the reference. This is drawn directly from the schema.org website, and the context sort of map for birth date in this schema is the schema.org birthday, right? So it's a way to reference using URI specific data fields so that meaning can be determined. And one of the advantages is also that it provides the potential to do language mapping. So you could have assert that this is a birth date in Chinese or Hindi or Thai or whatever language you want. And you could figure out that it was referencing a birth date. So it's good for the multilingual world we're moving into. And then this is an example of CBOR. So we just took the CBOR that was on the left on the previous screen and translated it into CBOR. And so this is basically all the CBORs that's in the paper, because it would be just lots of numbers if we kept going with it. But it gives you kind of a tangible example of these three different data formats that are being used in credentials. And then we have an accompanying infographic that we made. And so I just thought a good thing to share would be these infographics for us to look at. Yeah, so we did JSON signed with a JWT. The whole thing is signed all together. So there is no selective disclosure capability. On the right hand side, you have JSON-LD with data integrity proofs. Very similarly, all of the information in the credential is signed together. There's this external link to go and be able to do resolution of what the names in the name value pairs actually means. Then we have the two formats that support disclosure, ISO MDoc MDL, which signs basically the top is the sort of what happens with the issuance of the credential, and the bottom is what happens with the presentation of the credential, so that the individual is able to share some of the values and doesn't have to share all of them. With SDJWT, hashes of the values are signed and disclosure objects are given to the individual. And when they share those disclosure objects, combined with the hashes, the information becomes viewable by the verifier. So these are two different strategies that are quite similar to achieve the same thing, which is selective disclosure. And then finally, the infographic included the two formats that were in the earlier paper, data integrity with BBS Plus, sort of showing that each value is signed separately and that the holder can just share the name value pairs and the signatures, and Anon Creds also has a similar architecture. So those are the formats covered in the paper, and maybe that's all I have to share. And I'm happy to take a few questions if people have any before, or we can just go on to the next. It doesn't matter to me. Let me stop sharing. I'm not sure. There, stop sharing. Okay, great.
Any questions on what Kalia has presented? All right, Mirko.
All right. So thank you, Kalia, for this very good, very professional overview. If the others have any questions later for Kalia, don't mind to also send them that. So I will also try using Chrome, hoping for the best. Yes, so it should work now. If you could give me just a little feedback if you see the screen.
Yes.
Otherwise,
looks great.
Great. So yeah, as I talked in the beginning, maybe I can repeat myself. I was doing, or I am doing right now, my PhD in the with focus on the status list comparison. So which kind of algorithm or approach we can use for a very good managing from the status, because in the end it's not all about the credential formats, where Kalia gives us a very good example. So there's even more, which the advantages or disadvantages. And 3 years ago, some people, Torsten Lodderstedt, André Kudra, and Paul Bastian, went to IIW and said, well, we want to make an overview. And they created an Excel sheet where everyone was able to enter the credential format, and then also tried to define some criteria, like, okay, does, for example, the credential format has selective disclosure? Does it have predicates and so on? But it turns out it's not all about of the credential profile, but it's even bigger. So compared with the credential profile, for example, I have Anon Creds, I could use Anon Creds with a specific signing algorithm like CL signatures. Or I could use it with a specific status algorithm. We could use indie revocation, or we could use another type of revocation mechanism. And then also, how do we want to manage the keys? Do we want to use any of the 180 DID methods for the issuer? And if so, which one do we want to use for the holder? And then, of course, which kind of protocol do we want to use? Do we want to use DITCOM? Do we want to use OpenID for VC? And on top, we have, of course, different frameworks for trust management. And it all started in an Excel sheet, and then we thought, well, we want to move it into GitHub, because GitHub allows you more to work together on projects, opening pull requests, deciding about changes and features. So we transformed all the data from the Excel sheet into machine-readable JSON. And this JSON allows us, in the end, to actually work with the data. For example, here we have DID web, and we are able to define, okay, DID web is some kind of key management. What kind of comparison do we have? And then also define, okay, what is the comparison object we want to use? Is it a Boolean value? Is it more like in enum we can use? And this will allow people in the end to filter for specific credential profiles. For right now, we have only 19 profiles. This is not the theoretical amount. Theoretical, with the data we have, we could create over 100 million different possibilities. So in the end, we said only we have in this list the ones that, for example, have a formal specification. So where someone has written down why he has combined this set of features or technologies. And this allows then people to say, okay, for example, they say, well, I want to use for my use case because I have high security requirements. I only want to use profiles that have that are using a signing algorithm with hardware support. And this will limit us down. And then I could say, well, now I'm able to compare them. I could use, okay, this one, where do they have different differences? For example, when do I need selective disclosures? I would be nice with Hype. But then I could go to other features and say, well, maybe I have other down criterias where this profile is not so good. So this whole idea of this overview should be that people are on the one hand able to find the best fitting profile for their use case, because there is not a profile, either a credential format or a signing algorithm that fits the best for each of your use cases. So this also allows you, or what we also try to do, to define the definitions. For example, what is a good definition for selective disclosure? We have a big problem in the whole Web3 or identity system, ecosystem, that we are talking or that we are using the same word, but we mean different definitions. So we also want to use this group to define, to define some kind of glossary. So especially, for example, what is for months we haven't a good definition is for crypto agility. When does an algorithm support crypto agility? Like, do I have at least two different algorithms? Do I have crypto agility when I can support any possible algorithm? So these are the questions we are dealing with in our bi-weekly meetings. And we moved this to the Open Wallet Foundation to get more feedback. We also presented it already or the first time at IAW some weeks ago in San Francisco. For those who missed us, we will also present it at DICE in Zurich or at EIC. If you are there, come around and try to find me. And if you think, well, we need more profiles, you can easily submit them via GitHub. Just open a pull request, and then you are done with it. And where is this used? Well, we have another special interest group in the Open Wallet Foundation that is comparing different wallet and agents. And same procedure here. So when you are working on a wallet, it does not have to be open source. It can also be closed source. But this right now allows people to filter wallets depending on their supporting technology. Like, I'm a user and I say, well, please show me, for example, all show me every wallet or agent that is supporting DidAppSee, and over the 60 wallets that are technically in the list, I'm going down to only 5 of them. So this list is managed by GitHub, so every wallet provider can update their entries. This is just a JSON file, so it's very transparent. But right now I could just see, okay, I have all the wallets with DidAppSee. And when I want to find out more about this, for example, I want to find out more about Arno credentials, it will jump you to the other group, and here I have all the different aspects of this specific credential formats. I could get some information about the definition of the field. And yeah, so in the end, we hope to get this neutral overview this was also very a big requirement when we were defining the criteria, that all of them are very objective, or we can define how we how we benchmark something. So for example, for the encoding scheme, it's quite easy, like, okay, is it JSON, is it XML? Very easy, but we also have some subjective ones we try to eliminate, like performance, because performance, normally you would say I have set up some benchmark setup, and then you have to think about, okay, what is a suitable setup? Because in the end, people say, well, I don't have the latest iPhone to perform this, so it's not very performant in their point of view. So we are still getting more inputs, especially with each IW, we are getting a new DIP method. So when you are interested in it, feel free to hop in on our bi-weekly meetings. You don't have to be a member of Open Wallet Foundation. All the meetings are recorded. If you have missed one, you are easily able to consume the knowledge. And yeah, that's all. So if you have any questions from me or Kalir, raise your hand, unmute yourself. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. So any comments or questions? So a quick question. So what's next? Like, what's the next phase other than like gathering inputs and then like complete this further? What's the next phase on this project?
So on the one, of course, to find, to challenge the definitions of the different criteria, like I mentioned with crypto agility, and then also challenge where are the different profiles practically used. Because we saw that just because, for example, I have a perfect profile from the academic view, like it has 99% of all the different features you could use, it could be that the majority is still using a profile that has less feature support, and we are of course interested what are the market shares. So it would be really cool, of course, to have some kinds of sensors in the different wallets or agents that would measure the different credential types, signature algorithms, so we can get an overview for what is actually used there. But I think we are far away of this. And we are also interested in, with, for example, the different movements, like in Europe with the EUDI project, if there are specific credential formats that will be primary used, or for the credential of the key management, for example, from all the different DIP methods, which one will be used in the end or in the long term. So yeah, these will be the next steps.
Got it. Thank you. And do you have I know this is to do, but do you have a hunch on what are the formats or protocols that has the biggest market share or poised to have the biggest market share?
I don't know. So what we saw, that protocol solutions, simple solutions will adopt the market in the long run. This was the outcome of our observation we did. So we saw a lot of good new solutions, very disruptive, but then we saw that there were less implementation support. For example, we saw that MDoc or Anoncrats, for example, Anoncrats had better features. It had selective disclosure, it had predicates and so on, but there were only a few implementations. On the other hand, for SDJot, it was like every week a new library popped up because it was very easy for the people to implement it and to understand the mechanisms behind it. Same was for revocation part, that there were a lot of bitstring or status list 2021 implementation compared to more complex accumulator ones. So I think from my personal view, simplicity or easy to implement algorithm will be, will dominate the market and also the ones that are forced by regulations, like the architecture reference framework is favoring, for example, raw keys compared to DID methods, or is preferring OpenID for VC or VP compared to DIDCOM. So this could be factors that will form the market. But on the other hand, when we have ecosystems that are aligned and say, nope, we don't give a fuck about Europe, we will do our own things because we are in love with Kerry or with JSON-LD and so on, nobody is stopping them. But right now, I don't know what will make the race.
No, I agree with your comments. I do think simplicity helps adoption as well. So thank you.
I think that, it's pretty clear we're going to live in a multi-protocol, multi-format world. There are really legitimate reasons for different choices. I don't think there will be one format to rule them all. I do think that we will have several formats that have different trade-offs that have been for different reasons, and that's fine.
Yeah, I also think so. So I think some solutions will die out. But in the end, there will still be a handful of, because for some use cases or for some specific regions and so on, one does not fit all. So, yeah.
Great. Any questions in regards to any of the formats or technology or the comparisons? Nate, please.
Hey, thanks. This is a really cool resource, first of all. I'm curious about the internals of the claim structure as well. What space does this tool have to talk about the different types of claims that might be made in various different profiles? Is that a direction that you're interested in exploring, or is that open up way too much and would be out of scope or unmanageable?
Could you repeat the question? I didn't get it, honestly.
Sure. So a lot of the comparison that we're seeing here is at the kind of the envelope of the credential, not about what specific claims the issuers are making about holders or recipients. Are you interested in covering the specific claims, like, for example, whether achievements were made, skills were held, birth dates, degrees, that type of level of content in this comparison, or is that out of scope?
Now I got it. Yes, it's out of scope. So for us, a credential profile, it's not bounded to a specific ecosystem or use case. So we say, for example, as a credential format, you are using SDJOTS, but this is just a profile and we are not looking in, are you using it in e-government use cases or medical use cases? And how do you, for example, have defined the internal schema, like, okay, here I have a university degree. This is out of scope of this comparison.
Simone, you're next.
Yes, so first of all, so very nice so analysis for both sides, because it's really, it's something that was missing. And there's a lot of discussion about privacy and security of digital credentials, of course, with a focus on government-issued one. And in your opinion, with all your data, which is maybe the best format for this kind of things?
Well, we encountered multiple trade-offs when we are talking about privacy. So in the first place, is it to mention we have, for example, 10 different aspects that will have an impact on privacy, but they don't have the same value. For example, we would say that selective disclosure has a very big impact on the privacy because you are giving out just the minimum on data. But for example, predicates are not that important as selective disclosure. We are not saying that it's zero, but that selective disclosure is, for example, have 10 times more impact. And compared on the impact on privacy, because a lot of people say, well, we cannot achieve 100%, but when we are at around 80%, this is fine. You have to think about the trade-offs, like resource requirements, like, okay, you want to use CL signatures, but CL signatures are very CPU intensive and do not have hardware support. So you cannot run them on the typical smartphone that is dominating the market. So there you have to use the standard elliptic curves that are supported by Android or Apple. And then also depending on the use case, like you say, okay, when I have a personal identifier for a citizen, I want, for example, an accumulator-based revocation where the holder is always sending out a proof to the verifier, and then the verifier can only check this up. But in some use cases, like supply chains and so on, you don't really care about this privacy feature. So you say, well, here, take a Bitstring because I have millions of passports or objects I have to issue to send out every day, and then privacy is not that valuable compared to the costs I have to maintain this privacy feature. Maybe we will have some algorithms in the future that are very resource intensive and so on, or very effective, but right now I don't see this on the horizon. And also a lot of people say, well, they prefer a more crypto agility approach, saying, okay, right now we are going with SDJOT because SDJOT doesn't have the predicates, but you could replace the elliptic curves we have right now with some post-quantum algorithm and don't lose any privacy features or any other features for your use case. But in general, this is a very important and interesting part when talking about privacy, because privacy, you cannot measure it. So you cannot say, well, this costs me 10 times the CPU power, but is it worth it? And in the end, we will only find out that we have spent less or not enough money in privacy when the dark side has all our data to manipulate us.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Last call for questions or comments. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mirko. Thank you, Kalia, for coming on and presenting your work. This is definitely very interesting and definitely a very important work to showcase all the different options and help users the decision makers make a more informed decisions on what the appropriate technologies to use. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, all.
All right. So I think this concludes this week's W3C CCG meeting, and we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.